You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Welcome, dear kinswomen and kinsmen. Welcome to the show today. I hope you're learning a lot. I hope you've been learning. I hope you're listening to the Word of the Most High radio show and the Rabbit Hole radio show that I just put out. Amazing things are being revealed. I don't know how it affects you. I mean, I don't know, you know, if you're amazed at what you're hearing. These are things that have been hidden. And with just a little bit of investigation, we would have all known these things. It just shows you that things can be hidden in plain sight. They depend on our laziness. They depend on it. And it's carried them a long way. Our laziness to just, you know, look into matters. You know, what's so interesting is that I keep on realizing more and more the value of history and just how important it is. Not only do they not want you to look at the older part of the Testament, which is history, but they don't want you to study any history on find out any of these things that they're hiding from you throughout time. See, these are things that already have been known. A lot of them. Not all of them. Some things are just coming to light now. But to me, it's exciting. It's exciting to be part of it. It's exciting to see that it trains us and it helps us to know the Word better. See, through this whole investigation of the Apostle Paul, my knowledge of the Scriptures continually grows. I mean, it does anyway, right? But it grows in places it might not have grown. There's so much to this whole thing. And it's very exciting. Let me tell you something that I think is very interesting. They've got us in our countries rescuing refugees that aren't refugees at all. And some of the populaces agree with it. They welcome the refugees. But what's interesting on the other side is the true refugees of South Africa, the white people, that are being genocided, they're not included. We don't need to rescue them, according to the Jews and according to our filthy, dirty governments that are all sellouts. Worthless people. They're worth nothing to you and I. They're not obeying our will as the people. They're not representing us in any form or fashion. They're useless. Garbage. And that's really what it is. So in other words, you know, we need to bring in all these, what do you call them? Beasts, dogs, pigs, swine, you know, but we don't want to rescue the worthy people of South Africa. Like, you know what that would do? They say that they're bringing these refugees in to pay our pensions. I don't have any pension. I don't know about you, but they're there to pay the pensions, but they don't work. They're all on welfare. And but the people that would work, that would come in and do an excellent job in farming and help to feed our continent, they are rejected because of the color of their skin. They're white people. It shows you the world's agenda. It shows you the Jews' agenda and their father, the devil. And it shows you that our white race traitors in our government however many there are, there don't seem to be that many around, they go right along with these things. They don't mind genocide in their own race, just as long as they get an extra house somewhere in, you know, in the country or something. So long as, you know, their account is buffed up a little bit. They don't mind being traitors against their country, traitors against their race, traitors against their own family and the future of their family. Isn't that interesting to you? I mean, I don't know how that can be. I was talking about it a little on one of the previous shows, and it seems that it must be some kind of demonic activity, because I can't imagine that there aren't men and women in this country that love the country and would say, no, I'm not going to take a bribe. I'm going to stand for the country. So I find that quite interesting, and I thought you might too. It looks like we've got some decent weather coming our way. Nice to see the sunshine. We had a lot of rain, which we haven't had in a long time here. So it was nice to have that. Miss Elke says hello to all of you. She's a good girl. There's no doubt about it. And whenever I'm working, wherever I'm working, she's working right along with me. She keeps me company. She loves me. And I love her. And, you know, that's an important part about life, is that we love our brethren and our sisters. See, love keeps you healthy. Love keeps you happy. It's all the hate that makes these Jews and these sold-out losers miserable and unhappy. And frankly speaking, it is my prayer, and you may want to pray this imprecatory prayer yourself. It is my prayer that just as the Jews, I pray that they will have no peace, not a moment's peace. I pray the same thing for the white race traitor that's doing this to our countries all over the world. I pray that they will not have one moment's peace, that they will not have one moment's joy, because they don't deserve it. And I pray that this thing will come on them exponentially, that it will not be able to be stopped, except maybe through repentance, but that's not very likely. Once you've seared your conscience, it's unlikely that it'll come back to softness. It's an amazing thing when people make choices. A lot of these choices are final. Even though they don't have to be final, they seem to be final. They seem to stay the choice that they made. That's very unfortunate for them, but more unfortunate for us. And I pray that that prayer will be answered in the mighty name of Yahweh. I pray that they will have no moment's peace, that they will have no joy whatsoever. That life will be an empty shell for them, just like the empty shell they're creating for us. I wonder if they even know, you know, I don't know, you know, here they are spraying chemtrails, right? And they're not trying to stop it. They're not trying to do anything good for the American public or any other Israelite nation. And, you know, their families will be living in the future, perhaps. And what do you think will happen to those people? See, they don't seem to care about that. I remember talking to some of our brothers and sisters, and I would tell them about what was going on, and they say, I don't care. I'm not going to be here. And I would say to them, you mean you don't care about your posterity? You don't care about your grandchildren or anything? And, of course, they don't answer that question, but they already did, really. See, they're not going to be here, so who cares? See? That's the ultimate in selfishness, the ultimate in non-love. Very, very strange world we're living in, ladies and gentlemen. So, here we are, and going in our, we're on Be Wise as Serpents, and we're on page 156. And so far, we've been talking about, last week, that is, we were talking about the Church Universal Triumphant with Elizabeth Clare Prophet, and how she claims to be the new Jesus Christ of this age. Amazing to me. I don't even know if this woman's still alive. I don't know, you know, I don't follow Cut or anything like that, but it's just interesting. So, if you're ready, items of similarity. The tribe of Manasseh in the United States. The first item of similarity between Elizabeth Clare Prophet's teachings and Masonry is the belief that the tribe of Ephraim is Great Britain and the tribe of Manasseh is America. Notes from a local Cut meeting. In the Masonic book, Mystic Americanism, we are told the theme of the entire Bible centers around a hope of a glorious country afar off in an age that was to come. The crowning event of the allegory of the 12 tribes of Israel, the one and one half tribe of Jewish and the rest Christian origin, which is a lie, culminates in Manasseh, America, and Ephraim, Christ's kingdom. As sons of Joseph, Great Britain, most important of all is the story of the woman in Revelation 12 who fled into the wilderness, secrecy, but who is to return and, in a glorious nation, defeat the dragon by reopening the ancient teachings of the Holy Grail, the illumination of the soul. And, of course, the Bible's not about that at all. But that's what Masonry's about. Mystic Americanism, Quakertown, PA, the Philosophical Publishing Company. This and other beliefs of various groups are lumped together under the label British Israelism. A strain of British Israelism appears in Masonry from its inception. Hodson, John Milton, William H. Upton et al., Masonic History of the Northwest, San Francisco, California, The History Publishing Company, 1902, page 71. In the Royal Arch Degree, in England, the presiding officer is the prince and heir to the Jewish throne. Zerubbabel, being descended in the direct line from King Solomon, and as such represents the king, in America, after the American Revolution, the heir to the Jewish throne, Zerubbabel, was replaced in the American lodges with the high priest, and the prophet in the third chair was replaced with a scribe. Now, let me just stop right there. Did you hear what it just said about these Masonic lodges? That they have priests and, you know, prophets and scribes. But yet the Masons will continually write you in the comments and say, oh, Masonry is not a religion. I mean, get lost, will you? Seriously, get lost. In England, in the Royal Arch Degree, whichever you want to say, ritual mention is made in regards to the Messiah, but no, not in America. Apparently, the mission was to keep safeguarded the royal blood, and apparently the royal blood stayed in England. The mission of the Royal Arch Degree changed. It became the ally of the English government and church. The British exert power over the Americans, considering that Masonry began in the British Isles, and that was 1717, by the way, and that Masonry has had universal goals from its earliest times. This is not surprising. However, it is not clear to this author why the various Masonic groups work so closely with Ashkenazim Jews. Here's the game, you see. And haven't elevated the Sephardic Jews. That's what he says there, right? So, you know, the Ashkenazim Jews are these people that aren't really Jews that came from, you know, the story I told you, but the good Jews are the other 5%. Yeah. So he continues, for instance, the British royal family, which has been prominent in Freemasonry and believes in British Israelism, numerous Masonic sources parade the lists of kings, princes, etc. that are Masons. The kings themselves have made public comments publicly endorsing the belief they are the descendants of the House of David and has been very congenial with Jews. Cecil Rhodes, who believed the one world state would be British, included Lord Rothschild on his round table. The Mormon leaders who believe in British Israelism have had close relationships with the Jews, and although they should have known better, or should know better, have totally ignored the fact that the Ashkenazim Jews are not genetically related to the children of Israel. You see how, even in this book, this has to be present. You see? The Ashkenazim Jews are not only not genetically related to the children of Israel, but all Jews. I don't care if they're Sephardic, whatever they are, whatever kind of Jew, there is no Jew who's an Israelite, period, Mr. Fritz. They apply prophecy to those Jews because they are supposedly the right seed, and then ignore the historical evidence they never were genetically that seed. LDS's McConkie's writings on prophecy, even the Mormon leaders who have access to the world's genealogical records are pro-Ashkenazim Jew. Now let me stop right there. All of them are pro-Jew. I talked to the Jehovah's Witness, he's pro-Jew. I talked, he just talked about these Mormons right here. They're pro-Jew. See, Mormonism does the first three degrees of Freemasonry. And of course, Charles Taze Russell was a Freemason. And that is, you know, that's a matter of record. And of course, Freemasonry is run by Jewry. So you see the connections there, right? Unbelievable. Elizabeth Clare Prophet's teachings have been a welter of contradictions. While condemning the barbarian Illuminati in talks, she also has taught about how great Sir Francis Bacon, who she believes started Masonry, is. She points out to her people how the Masonic temples have the words I am on them to support her I am beliefs. In 1723, Dr. Abadi, a Protestant apologist, put forth the view that the Lost Ten Tribes were the people of the British Isles. Gabelin, Dr. A.C., World Prospects, Gabelin's Art, In Our Hope, January 1932 issue. However, the idea predated Abadi, however you say that, by half a century. Oliver Cromwell was convinced that the British were Israelites. Oh, that's nice. Listen. And he was very Jew-friendly too, wasn't he? And who but Christian Identity defends the Jew, the Apostle Paul? I find this, I know that you may get mad at me saying such a thing, but they're one of the biggest defenders of the Apostle Paul, as well as Judeo-Christianity, as well as the Catholic Church, as well as the world. And that speaks volumes to me. Because it is so evident that the Apostle Paul's gospel is a universal gospel, which fits the Catholic mold, which fits the Judaized Christian mold, but does not fit the Christian identity mold, and yet it's allowed to stay there and fit. Very interesting, isn't it? So, Oliver Cromwell was convinced that the British were Israelites. He was not only active in Masonry, but was the person who brought the Jews back to England in 1655 after their expulsion. Some contend it was money that motivated Cromwell to bring the Jews to England. Interestingly, it was the discovery of Jews in China by the Jesuits that allowed Cromwell to justify allowing Jews into England. Rabbi Ben Israel, who lived across the street from Rembrandt in Amsterdam, corresponded with Cromwell. The rabbi was also responsible for the philosopher Spinoza's education. Spinoza made his own contribution to the mortal demise of Western civilization. The rabbi brought out the pamphlet, Spes Israelis, that's S-P-E-S, Israelis. Spes Israelis, Latin for the hope of Israel, or in Hebrew, Mikveh Israel, using a biblical passage that the Jews were to be found at two ends of the earth and declaring the recently found Chinese Jews at one end, he argued that biblically the other end of the earth was Portugal. Well, at first it was Portugal, but then the rabbi realized England had more commercial profit potential, so he reworded his tract to say England. Yes, the rabbi declared that biblically the Jews were at both ends of the earth. Let me stop right there. What did B.F. Jackson tell us? That they were in the eastern and the western hemisphere, right? The body of Shaitan. Are you connecting dots right now as I'm proposing that question? I mean, it's amazing. He declared that biblically the Jews were at both ends of the earth. And since England had no Jews, then the British must be Jewish. If Jewish, then how could they forbid other Jews from coming in? And they fell for this, these intelligent people. Are you getting a load of this? Since then, others have built on the rabbi's idea. The dual marriage of Jacob with his wives Leah and Rachel was referred to as two bands, Genesis 32:10. These are the two sticks that the Mormons, the LDS Mormons, appeal to the Book of Mormon. But these aren't the two sticks, you see. Anyway, in the Book of Mormon, Alma 46:23-24 are used to explain that the Americas are for the tribe of Joseph, and various Masons believe in the same thing. If Britain is Ephraim and the United States is Manasseh, Edward Hine, 1871, published his theory that Great Britain was Ephraim and America was Manasseh. How did the United States become Manasseh? The United States began with such settlers as the Pilgrims, who were British, therefore Ephraimites. This particular version seems illogical. Another version is that the sons of Joseph, Great Britain, culminate in Manasseh, America, and Ephraim, Christ's kingdom. The last idea carries an eerie aura about it to this author. The symbology of the tribe of Manasseh is the olive branch and the arrows associated with Joseph's bow. Scriptures that are used to illustrate the tie-ins between Manasseh's heraldry and scripture are Genesis 4:22 verse verses 22 through 24, bows and arrows. And RM 1124, which were always pictured as olive branches. One common symbol of the tribe of Dan is the eagle. The best British Israelism examination of the heraldry of the tribes of Israel and British heraldry is W.H. Bennett, Symbols of Our Celto-Saxon Heritage, Stanhope Press, Kent, England, 1976. The other is the serpent or the snake. Yes, Dan had the serpent or the snake as their logo at one time. So they went from the serpent or the snake to the serpent killer, because the eagle is a serpent killer. The American eagle that would be Dan controls the other two tribes' symbols. The best book in showing archaeological evidence concerning the fate of the 10 tribes of Israel is Missing Links, discovered by E. Raymond Capt. Critics of British Israelism owe it to themselves to read this. One of the symbols of the tribe of Ephraim is the unicorn, but the unicorn, according to Alice Bailey, stands for the God-man. Well, that's because the devil uses certain symbols for the devil's purposes, and the father has certain things that he uses for his purposes. That's what that means. But the unicorn, right, so it says the unicorn, according to Alice Bailey, stands for the God-man, the Christ-man, the illumined new race coming in the new order. The horn of the unicorn is on the third eye chakra point, indicating illumination by Lucifer. This author hasn't seen Ephraim's symbols matched with their New Age meaning in the context of the idea that Ephraim is Christ's kingdom, soon to be established. But when it is, the two sticks belief matches itself to the New Age's millennial belief. Special colors. Another interesting parallel is that in some areas, Masons wear a special color of clothes on certain days. Confidential interview with a Christian who the Masons had intended to recruit. The Church Universal and Triumphant also assigned certain colors to be worn on different days. Confidential interviews with ex-IM and ex-CUT members and class materials of Summit University, due to the large influx of new converts, it has been difficult for CUT to keep up the teachings on wearing different colored clothing during different times of the day and for different days. Newer converts may be unaware of these teachings. The colors of purple and white are especially esteemed. Oh, I wanted to mention something to you before we continue any more on this. Something that I've been just coming in tune with is all across the world, I want you to notice this, that the LGBTQ movement and homosexuals and all these people are trying to join the alt-right, like the Nazi Party or whatever it might be, right? And I believe the reason for this is because if people that are in the right have these types of people associated with them, not only will they attack them, but this will cause them to get themselves in trouble, right? But also at the same time, this will make many in the right movement leave the right movement because they don't want anything to do with queers or any of that stuff, right? In other words, if you're on the right, you're conservative, the last thing you're interested in is queers. So that's something you should think about. That's a move, because what's been happening on this left thing with these LGBTQs is they're turning against the Jews. And it's kind of interesting. They're finding out that the Jews are what they are, and so now they don't want to be in the left ideology, or the Jews are encouraging them to go into the right so that they can taint it up and destroy it. Very interesting how mixed up the world really is, isn't it? And I mean mixed up. Just a thought for you to think on. And I think you'll notice it. Fritz continues, astrology, a perusal of Summit University course materials shows that the astrology information that Cut teaches is Fraternity of Keepers of the Flame is the same type of astrological items that others have taught before. The extra meanings assigned to the various 12 signs can also be found in Mason Manly P. Hall's book, The Secret Teaching of All Ages. Both Cut and Masonry use astrology as a way to get people interested in their teachings. The first 3 degrees of Masonry are called the Blue Lodge because the color blue is associated with the skies and astrology. Rays and vibrations. Masonic source that matches Cut teachings. The force, this is a quote, I guess, the force of the obligation is, therefore, in the obligation and not in the reason. As a matter of fact, the real reason is scientific to the last analysis, scientific to a degree beyond the penetration up to the present time of the radiant matter of the Roentgen ray of modern science. Roentgen. It's Roentgen ray. Roentgen ray of modern science. The word concerns the science of rhythmic vibrations and is the key to the equilibrium of all forces and to the harmony of eternal nature. And that's from Ancient Mystic Oriental Masonry, page 48. What's interesting about that is the Beach Boys had come out with the song, She's Giving Me Good Vibrations, I'm Getting Some Good Sensations, right? And, you know, who knows where they got the idea from? The soul is an emanation of deity. Is what they claim, you see. Masonic source that matches Cut teachings. That the soul is an emanation of deity and in its original essence in all purity, truth, and wisdom is an axiom which the disembodied learn. These sparks of heavenly fire become souls, and as the effect must share in the nature of the cause, the fire which warms into life also illuminates into light. Hence, the soul emanations from the divine are all love and heat, whilst the illumination of light, which streams ever from the great central sun of being, that's S-U-N of being, irradiates all souls with corresponding beams of light. Also from Ancient Mystic Oriental Masonry, page 20. Says Brother Buck again, humanity in toto is the only personal God. The Christos is the realization or perfection of this divine persona, an individual conscious experience when this perfection is realized. The state is called Christos. Christ, you get it? With the Greeks and Buddha and with Hindus, know you not that they who follow the Buddha follow the same Christ as you under another name? That's a lie. Ancient Mystic Oriental Masonry, page 11. A Jewish lie. Fire in turn signifies love. God, the fatherhood of God, Ancient Mystic Oriental Masonry, page 30. These are all quotes from the same thing. Except this last one, which is from the Mysticism of Masonry, page 11, that the soul is an emanation of deity, these sparks of heavenly fire, parts of God, become souls. Hence the soul emanations from the divine are all love and light, whilst the illumination of light, which streams ever from the great central sun of being, which is the same kind of a quote, God's light, irradiates all souls who harmonize themselves with God or the light, which corresponding beams of light, with them. Now, here again, what you're seeing is what the Masonic secret doctrine is and the lost word. The secret doctrine is we are all on our way to becoming Christ or Christos or becoming man perfected. We have the divine spark of life within us, you see. And the lost word is the Christ within. Dr. Deagle gave himself away when he said this at the end of one of his videos, and he said this exactly like that. Exactly. He said that we are all on our way to becoming Christ, just as Jesus Christ was on his way to becoming a Christ or Christ. See, we all have the Christ within. You see, but this is a perversion of the kingdom of God lives within us, you see. But this is a separate Christ than, you see, if the Holy Spirit lives within us, and he does, that means that it's the same Christ. In other words, we're not individual Christs, you see. But in Masonry, man is becoming perfected. This was the promise in the garden from Lucifer that man could become God. You see, it's just a perverted promise that is not promised by the Father. Remember that he said, "Know ye not that ye are gods?" In other words, that we are the offspring of Yahweh. We already had a mortal life. We already had Shekinah glory. And I'm not talking about the Jewish version of Shekinah glory. I'm talking about the Father's glory is the light that emanates off of him. And his children have it. We have it in our blood. We have traces of this light in our blood. And it's very interesting that the devil has to try to emulate everything. And that's exactly what this is. By telling you have the Christ within or that you're becoming a god, we already had this. The devil and his children always give us promises that we already have. See, the Jews promise us peace all the time, but we already had peace. If it wasn't for the Jews, we would have had peace. You see, it's very strange. And that Eve was already, she already had eternal life. She already was made out of Adam, who was the literal Son of God at that time. And the devil came and promised her she could become a god. You see, it's always the same thing over and over. They're still doing it today. They're promising us we could have peace in the world if we become a race-mixed brown people. But what have I told you? That the brown nations down in South America are the most violent nations in the world. It's a false promise, obviously, right? I mean, it's ridiculous, is what it is. And to even contemplate it as a solution of anything, you'd have to be mentally ill. Amazing. So let's continue. Healing by correct vibrations. Masonic source that matches cut teachings. The second method of healing was by vibration. Now you've heard of this, haven't you? But you didn't know that these things are what they are. A lot of people, when they want solutions to be healed, they don't think, am I doing something evil here? Because all they're thinking of is the healing aspect. Masonic source that matches cut teachings. The second method of healing was by vibration. The inharmonies of the bodies were neutralized by chanting spells and intoning the sacred names, or by playing upon musical instruments and singing. Sometimes articles of various colors were exposed to the sight of the sick For the ancients recognized, at least in part, the principle of color therapeutics. Now in the process of rediscovery, Masonic, Hermetic, Kabbalistic, and Rosicrucian symbolical philosophy, page 111. The importance of I am, quote unquote, Masonic source that matches cut teachings. By these rites and benefits, the Freemason is, above all men, in our so-called modern civilization, the nearest to the ancient wisdom. He has possession of the territory in which lie concealed the crown jewels of wisdom. Let me stop right there. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from the Father. And so, you see, here they are trying to say that they have the wisdom. They do call us the profane, you see. Just like the Apostle Paul said that he was above all the other disciples. Here we see again, listen, by these rites and benefits, the Freemason is above all men. In our so-called modern civilization, the nearest to the ancient wisdom. He has possession of the territory in which lie concealed the crown jewels of wisdom. He may content himself, if he will, by merely turning over the sod. He may rise untrammeled by the rubbish of the temple and meeting Elohim face to face. Learn also to say, I am that I am. Ancient Mystic Oriental Masonry, page 7. I do have that book. I'll have to look into that. Mystical Flame, Masonic source that matches cut teachings. The mysteries have now, as throughout the longest ages past, for their foundation, the existence of God as Jehovah Adonai, the Father of Light. What did I tell you? That, okay, let me just stop right there. Jehovah Adonai. Okay, now look at how they're using that. Jehovah the Lord, right? And they're saying it means the Father of Light. Now, we know that they mixed the Tetragrammaton, which is Yahweh's name, with the word Adonai, Lord, and came out with the name Jehovah. And that Jehovah is one of the devil's names. It's a mixed name. It's not Yahweh's name. The Father of Light, and the immortality of the soul, which soul, in the language of the initiates, is and always must be an ever-burning fire, a light that must be brought into close relationship with the Father of all light from which it originally came. The Mysticism of Masonry, page 19. Okay? Now, you see in that the people in cut are called the keepers of the flame, the initiates, right? And it says in this book that the initiates, that the language of the initiates is and always must be an ever-burning fire, a light that must be brought into close relationship with the Father of all light from which it originally came. Now, the devil is known as Prometheus, and he brought the fire down from heaven. You understand? Are you getting it now? You know, the woman in the harbor with the torch? The torch is the torch of illumination, the divine spark, so to speak. Cast not thy seed upon the ground, lest it become a serpent and rend thee. This is still from the Mysticism of Masonry, from page 46. Cast not thy seed upon the ground. Does that sound familiar to you? Lest it become a serpent and rend thee. And the search for its recovery, the retention or exchange, the raising and transmutation of the seed into fire or light of the soul, the tradition of the ineffable name in connection with the lost word, finding the soul's light through the fire, being able to come face to face with the soul's creator, the Father of light. What is the lost word? The Christ within. Let's take a break and we'll continue after this. This is a song called Light. I did that deliberately. This is from my In Vain album from 1990. Welcome back to the Saxon's Creed radio show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com, your source for the truth. Well, very interesting what we're seeing here and what we're hearing and what we're noticing that all these different religions are teaching men, religions of the world, see the knowledge of good and evil that was in the garden is being taught to man on the earth even today. And the promise that was given in the garden is the same promise today. And it says here, need for man to be a god. Masonic source that matches Cut teachings. Cut is Church, Universal, and Triumphant. As the earth groans for the lordship of superior beings to rule over them, the spirits of distant Edens, like there's many Edens, it's saying, hear the whispers of the tempting serpent, desire, longing, the animal principle, the urgent intellect, which appealing to the blessed souls in their distant paradises, fill them with indecisible longings for change, for broader vistas of knowledge, for mightier powers. I believe it was indescribable was the word, and it's misspelled there, so let me read that part again. In these paradises, it fills them with indescribable longings for change, for broader vistas of knowledge, for mightier powers. They would be as the gods and know good and evil. The Mysticism of Masonry, page 12. An example of this from Elizabeth Clare Prophet's teachings is this quote. The challenge of all the great revolutionaries of all time, East and West, has been to subdue that sacred fire, to channel it, to make contact with it, to interact with it, to integrate with it. The 1980s are a decade of reintegration with the sacred fire that all the world's great revolutionaries for good, for God, have contacted. Unbelievable. And continues with this. A lack of self-knowledge and knowledge of self in and as this God potential has set the limits of our social and technological progress. Prophecy for the 1980s, page 17. Bold added. So, her description of this fire corresponds, listen to this, this is very interesting. Her description of this fire corresponds perfectly with the occult Masonic groups who started communism from the 1840s to the 1870s. Did you hear that? Who started communism? The Masonic groups. But you know who runs the Masonic groups. And you know who came up with communism. And you know that I've told you that without Darwinism, communism would have not flown. An excellent history of the Masonic belief in this fire, quote-unquote, which started so many revolutions, is found in the well-researched book Fire in the Minds of Men by James Billington. Listen to this. Humanity in total is God. Masonic source that matches Cut teachings. Humanity in toto, which means total, is the only personal God. The Christos is the realization or the perfection of this divine persona in through the individual conscious experience, in and through. When this perfection is realized, the state is called Christos. The Mysticism of Masonry, page 14. As this is common knowledge concerning Masons, the first quote will be from Cut's Pearls of Wisdom, the Ascended Master's Weekly Newsletter, April 9th, 1967, page 10. It says this, where are the staunch ones applying to us today for initiation into the highest steps here at Luxor? Cut doesn't have the multitude of levels like Masonry, though. Some of the other beliefs that the two share in common are A, the idea of invocations, which Alice Bailey's also into in her books. B, the old order must be destroyed so that a golden age of illumined ones can be established. C, let me stop right there. the old order must be destroyed. Now, what do we see today? We see the feminists and all these others say that they want to destroy the patriarchy, correct? And that this is the age of the goddess. Right? So look at B again. The old order must be destroyed so that a golden age of illumined ones can be established. C, the hierarchy is the mediator, not Christ. D, Satan is the animal nature in man, preventing him from becoming a god. E, the Ancient of Days in scriptural is Sanat, the scrambling of Satan. These concepts are taught until one gets high up in Masonry or goes into one of the more occultic Masonic rites. Similar to the Jehovah Witnesses, she believes in a literal 144,000. So if you wanted to know about the church, universal and triumphant, you're learning right now. Cut fits a pattern. There are some people who will be dissatisfied with this chapter. They will want harder proof. Yet these same people are very likely to accept many things without any proof. If they didn't, they wouldn't be part of mainstream America. For instance, you are told that this country is a democracy. Democracy means the people vote and decide everything. Everything in a real democracy is decided by what is called a referendum today. Very little is decided by referendum today. Has anyone shown you proof this is a democracy? Have you ever asked? I have found that those who object to this information are those who have not studied the subjects at all. Cut fits a pattern that has been repeated over and over. Either it is part of the pattern which can be shown to be Masonic, or it is an exception to the rule. If Cut is really against the New World Order, it depends what part of the literature, their literature, you read. Because they do want a global interdependence of spiritual ones. They only claim to be against a global political union. It is interesting that that the system cooperates with them so much. On the surface, they appear to some to be against the CFR, international bankers, etc. They teach their members the dangers of these men pose in conjunction with international communism. On the other hand, in their tract, What is the Summit Lighthouse? They end the tract saying, the Summit Lighthouse sheds its beams over the earth and releases into manifestation the symbol for the coming golden age. Destiny, not dust. Unless a person is aware of the connections between the Rockefellers and the Masons in the New Age movement, the common person will not be able to see Hegelian dialectics being used. You know, it's very interesting because then I'd like to comment on it again because it's important to understand what's going on. You see, even though that Cut is teaching things that the truth movement teaches, they're also mixed with aliens and masonry and all kinds of really queer things, let's say. And this is the idea. This is the whole idea of the establishment. What they want to do is mix things with the truth movement so that it discredits the truth movement in the process. Or the Hegelian dialectic, where soon the alien movement is the truth movement, and vice versa. You see what I mean? So it's something you have to realize has always been on the plate for them. While conservatives joined Cut, it's not likely very many of them caught a little clause that Cut put into its Christmas Day 1981 Declaration of International Interdependence. Line 8 from the bottom states, therefore, as divinely blessed individuals, the citizens of planet Earth have the right to call for a constitutional convention to found their nation under God. Elizabeth Prophet has repeatedly stated Sanat Kumara was the leader of the Great White Lodge's hierarchy and God. So the God she's talking about is Sanat Kumara. Same one Alice Bailey's talking about. It's Satan. So, just one example of many where Sanat or Satan is identified as God by Elizabeth Clare Prophet in her 1979 Christmas message, page 2. Quote, "Yes, my cellas have sung for you and for me the message of Sanat Kumara, the great Bodhisattva. I don't know how you say that, but he's known to Daniel and the prophets of Israel as the Ancient of Days. In his name we say, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen." See, they're calling him the Lord, or the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, right? And it continues, right? I don't really want to, you know, say this quote, you see? But what she's telling you is the devil is God. She continues, this great Bodhisattva who revealed himself to Moses in the person of Jehovah and to Ezekiel as the fire enfolding itself, to the soul of Gautama as the Buddha. So she's trying to say that Yahweh is the Buddha, Yahweh is Jehovah, Yahweh is the Ahura Mazda, the Zarathustra, I mean, and to the Hindus as eternal youth. She's trying to say that they're all the same God. We've heard this several times, haven't we? How ridiculous this really is. Another example is Pearls of Wisdom, Volume 10, Number 13, March 26, 1967, page 1. The name Ancient of Days refers to Sanat Kumara, Hierarch of Venus, who came to Earth millions of years ago. Here, in effect, is a call for a constitutional convention to establish either the U.S. or world government under Sanat. You dig? Are you digging this? It is not exactly clear which nation is being spoken about that is to call this constitutional convention. Who are the forces calling for a constitutional convention? William Still links these forces to the CFR, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Brookings Institute, and the World Federalists in his expose. Still, William T., New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies, Lafayette, L.A., Huntington House, 1990, Chapter 15, covers the constitutional assault. An example of an organization that has been created by the One World Power that functions in much the same capacity as CUT is the John Birch Society. Both groups are so conservative that they stick out as extreme. Elizabeth Clare Prophet likes the John Birch Society and speaks good things about it. Of course, it's funded by Jews, in case you don't know that. And Eustace told me about how he was kicked out of the John Birch Society. The John Birch Society was created as the antithesis of communism, much in the same way that CUT siphons off the conservative element that dislikes long hair or dirty clothes, etc., but theologically is attracted to the New Age. A 32-degree Mason named Robert Welch, Braddock, James E., the John Birch Society, and Enigma, Bumsville, Minnesota, Weissman Publications, page 13, states, Welch, being a well-proven 32nd degree Mason, jumped at the chance to aid and abet in the furtherance of the destruction of Christianity. CPA has access to a Masonic document showing Welch's membership. Perhaps the first to claim Robert Welch was a Mason was Dr. Stuart Crane. Eustace Mullins also received information that Welch was a Mason from the confidential sources. Braddock's research has been well received by a number of prominent ex-John Birchers. Started the John Birch Society in 1958 for the board of directors for the John Birch Society, he chose men from the Council of Foreign Relations. As JBS, John Birch Society policy, he had an anti-communist but pro-Jewish stance. Of course. After Welch had the John Birch Society started, he received a large sum of money from the Rockefellers. There you go. Braddock states, Robert Welch, heir to the Welch Candy Company, Nelson Rockefeller purchased the company for a price that was three times the asking price, but with the condition that Robert would head the new John Birch Society. Okay, so here we are learning more and more, aren't we? So the American people got more Hegelian dialectics, and many conservative people who sincerely wanted to save and defend the United States gave their money, time, and allegiance to this society. Many rich conservative Americans gave their money to the John Birch Society to fight the anti-American forces. The John Birch Society was able to siphon off much resistance that could have been really damaging to the one world power and waste that concern and money of resistance into a make-believe battle against communism. Many of the highly knowledgeable people who joined the John Birch Society, such as Dr. R.P. Oliver, Dr. Draskovich, Brigadier General G. Moore, along with the three directors of public relations and others, realized they were being taken for a ride and got off. The comments by these ex-John Birchers are a good testimony about the manufacture of an antithesis by the New World Order. Some of their comments are, Braddock op cite various pages. Here's the comments. The John Birch Society is a complete and deadly mirage in a vast desert of confusion that was purposefully designed and augmented to aid in that confusion. James E. Braddock. Next quote from Charles A. Wiseman. Unlike other groups and organizations which international Zionism has gradually taken over, the John Birch Society was their own creation to fulfill their own purposes, one world order and control. Next quote by General Moore, M-O-H-R. When you see the Jewish influence in the top echelon of the society, in the organizing council of the John Birch Society, and the Jewish money that is poured into the society, you understand that here again is an organization that is set up by international Judaism as a neutralizing force for patriotic Americans. Next quote by Dr. Oliver. I have resigned from the council of the John Birch Society and from the society itself because I can no longer in conscience remain a member. I have also resigned as associate editor of American Opinion, and I will no longer contribute to that magazine. So let me comment on that. Is that not interesting, ladies and gentlemen? They kicked Eustace Mullins out. He didn't even go out on his own. That should tell you something. That should speak volumes to you. Next, the Theosophical Society. Our modern rainbow of dragons was the direct result of the Theosophical Society. Helena P. Blavatsky, or HPB as she called herself, 1831 to 1891, was sponsored by several occult groups to get the Theosophical Society started. A small group of Rosicrucian adepts were the primary sponsors of hers. The Great White Brotherhood was lurking in her background, too. The Theosophical Society is also called co-masonry. Many of the leaders of the Theosophical Society have been women involved in the occult Masonic groups that admit women, and men who have been part of masonry. See the appendix. In the book On the Watchtower by Sri Ram, We are told that the Theosophical Society was working to unite Europe into one United States of Europe, page 570, and that eventually the only solution for mankind was a federation of all nations, page 571. The Primer of Theosophy states that the Theosophical Society was started for two reasons: A, to study occultism, and B, to spread universal brotherhood. American section of the Theosophical Society, a Primer of Theosophy, Chicago, Illinois, the Rajput Press, 1911, page 110. The Theosophical book, okay, so anyway, let's move on from there. Who shall head the world government that the Theosophical Society wants? Interestingly, the Theosophical Society feels that Freemasonry and itself teach the clear divine wisdom. H.P. Blavatsky, founder of the Theosophical Society, tells us that the God of the Bible is a tribal God and no more. Blavatsky, H.P., Collected Writings, Volume 8, Theosophical Publishing House, page 277. So he doesn't exist anymore. H.P., listen carefully, folks. H.P.B. felt that Lucifer was the savior of mankind and that the God of the Bible was really the adversary of man. Hence, the name Satan described God better than Lucifer. The appellation Satan in Hebrew, Satan, an adversary, belongs by right to the first and cruelest adversary of all other gods, Jehovah. Not to the serpent, which spoke only words of sympathy and wisdom. Blavatsky, The Secret Doctrine, Volume 3, Los Angeles, Theosophy Company, 1925, page 386. H.P. Blavatsky, a Jewess, tells us, once the key to Genesis is in our hands, the scientific and symbolical Kabbalah unveils the secret. The great serpent of the Garden of Eden and the Lord God are identical, now she says. You get it? She's saying that the serpent is the Lord God. That's from The Secret Doctrine, Volume 2, page 132. Satan, the serpent of Genesis, is the real creator and benefactor, the father of spiritual mankind. Let me stop right there. Sounds like the Apostle Paul, huh? The father of spiritual mankind. For it is he, the serpent, who opened the eyes of Adam, and he who was the first to whisper, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil, can only be regarded in the light of a savior. He still remains in esoteric truth, the ever-loving messenger who conferred on us spiritual instead of physical immortality. The Secret Doctrine, Volume 3, page 246. You see, the devil and the Apostle Paul both think about things spiritually like that, you see? Spiritual Israel, spiritual seed of Abraham, not physical bloodline or anything like that. Sounds like shades of the Apostle Paul to me. That's from The Secret Doctrine, Volume 3, page 246. H.P.B. and her society hate the Christians who they see as fighting against divine truth. When repudiating and slandering the dragon of esoteric divine wisdom, The Secret Doctrine, Volume 3, page 376. When we study further, we discover that the global initiation spoken of by the Theosophical Society is a Luciferian initiation, and the second coming of Christ means that a Christ consciousness of man's divinity returns to the human race. The Christ within, you get it? Although people who follow the Theosophical Society initially may join for personal development or enlightenment and do not realize the ultimate goal, the ultimate goal of the Theosophical Society is a one-world government with HPB's Lord God ruling. In other words, the devil. Christians refer to her God as Satan the devil. Her God as Satan the devil. You see, what she just did was she tried to change places and made the devil the Most High. Of course, this filthy, dirty Jewess, who only lived 60 years, she didn't do anything. She's just a useless Jewess. Masons and the Theosophical Society. Manly P. Hall, 33rd degree Mason, was an important Theosophical leader. He could really pack the audiences in when he spoke to their groups. Many Anglo-American Masons study Theosophy. Theosophic books are placed into the Masonic libraries. Theosophy is another way to describe Hinduism, or the New Age teachings. A visit to a Theosophic library will reveal that they carry books on witchcraft, Judaism, as well as the various topics of the New Age movement. I hope you're listening, and I hope you're connecting the dots that were just connected right then and there. The Theosophical Society's inner circle and divisions. The ES, or esoteric section, known as the Eastern School of Theosophy, is the inner secret circle. This inner circle has itself several levels. The Theosophical Society has divided into two competing groups. The major group has its international headquarters in Madras, India, with its American headquarters in Wheaton, Illinois. Of course, everything's in Illinois. The other group had its headquarters in Covina, California, and also San Diego, California. The American Theosophical Society has its Quest Publishing House at Wheaton. Interestingly, the name Manly P. Hall gives the order whose job it is to preserve the plans for the takeover of the world is also called by him the Order of the Quest. The Theosophical Library at Wheaton, called the Alcott Library and Research Center, is one of the best occultic collections anywhere. The two Theosophical Societies have made their greatest impacts in the British nations, UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, India, and the United States. They have also been very popular in Scandinavian countries and Germany. Episcopalian clergymen have been active in both Theosophical groups. Alice Ann Bailey, who took over the leadership in the 1920s, had taught in the Episcopalian Church and was married to an Episcopal rector. Alice Bailey did as much for Theosophy as did HPB. Bailey is still influencing our culture today. She felt the number 666 was sacred. One of the Theosophical Society's publications is Lucifer. Bailey started Lucifer Trust, now called Lucius Trust. She helped create the vast network of New Age groups. Lucius Trust has continued promoting the number 666. I'm pretty sure that in the Planet of the Apes, the offspring was named Lucius, if my memory serves me correctly. See, anytime you have Lucy, Lucifer, Lucius. What was the fellow's name there? The big mobster. You know, it means light. And it has to do with the Lightbringer. So it's very, very interesting, isn't it? How all this stuff connects. Trying to think of that name. I know the guy's name because I was just studying him a while ago. But same type of name. So, the watch... Oh, he's going to mention the Nazism and stuff here. Yeah. The Watchtower Society has a number of teachings, symbols, etc. that match up with the Theosophical Societies. More about these later. Prominent Theosophical leaders. Two prominent leaders that were involved in the Theosophical Society were Mahatma Gandhi, the homosexual, and Adolf Hitler, he says. Mahatma Gandhi was interested in learning about Christianity until HPB, who pretended to be a Christian, convinced him Hinduism had more to offer. Gandhi joined the Theosophical Society. The impetus for India's independence to a large degree came from the Theosophical Society. Anne Besant, the second Theosophical president, was instrumental in changing British attitudes. India's political leadership has been closely connected with the Theosophical Society ever since independence, including several Gandhis and Jawaharlal Nehru, whoever that is. Hitler learned much of his occult knowledge from the Theosophical Society, although credit needs to be given to his occult mentors at the Benedictine Monastery School, who got him off on the occult trail. Hitler spent much of his time in occult bookstores. This is, you know, hearsay. I don't really know. Learning metaphysics. He also had several adepts in white and black magic instruct him. In Vienna, Hitler joined a modern German version of the Knights Templars, a German Masonic group called the Order of the New Templars. The swastika was their emblem. The Theosophical Society, even today, continues to use the swastika as one of their emblems. The Theosophical Society. Now, isn't that interesting, right? That is true. They use the swastika, the sun sign. It's the sun that's, you know, going across the sky. The skywalker, it means. The sun walks across the sky. All right, it's a sun sign. So you don't see the Jews, anytime they see a swastika show up on in any form or fashion, they're up in arms and it's all in the news. And yet the Theosophical Society uses that as their logo, and there's not a word about it. That ought to tell you something. I hope you're listening. The Theosophical Society has also included such genius inventors as the co-workers Thomas Edison, who I found out was a Jew, and Nikola Tesla. It has included such writers as George Bernard Shaw and William Butler Yeats. It is possible that the Dalai Lama is also associated with them. Elvis Presley was a theosophist. For a discussion on how the New World Order has promoted the New Age religion through musicians, see Chapter 210. The theosophist John H. Dewey wrote, "It is not proposed, be it observed, to replace Christianity by Buddhism, nor Buddhism by Mohammedism, nor both by Judaism, nor yet all three by Spiritism, but to bring each of the old religions back to its esoteric origin, meaning, and purity, and if they are found to be in essence one, shall we not have found the true religion of humanity?" John H. Dewey, The Way, the Truth, and the Life, Buffalo, New York. Well, I think you've been buffaloed there, Mr. Dewey. Recapping the chapter. One of the ways this chapter can be recapped is to quote part of a letter written in 1822 by a Jewish Mason, Piccolo Tigre, to the Italian Piedmontese lodges of the Carbonari, which means forest masons, the Carbonari. "It has been judged good and useful to propagate the light everywhere and to set in motion all that inspires to move. For this reason, we do not cease to recommend you to affiliate persons of every class to every manner of association, no matter of what kind, only provided that mystery and secrecy should be the dominant characteristics." See, mystery and secrecy pique people's interest, you see. They want to know what the mystery is. They want to know what the secret is. See? Like the lost secret of Freemasonry, or the secret word of Freemasonry, or the secret doctrine of Freemasonry, which I've already told you what it is. I'm sure there are many Masons across the world that don't even know what you know. So he says, all Italy is covered with religious fraternities and with penitents of diverse colors. Do not fear to slip in some of your people in the very midst of these flocks, led as they are by stupid devotion. Let our agents study with care the personnel of these, he says. The letter goes on to show how to create societies and associations, how to separate men from their families, and to use secrets as a bait to lead men where you want them to go, or where you want them. Masons continue even today creating new societies and associations and infiltrating those that they haven't created. The Lord Maitreya's chronology. Well, I suppose that that's where we'll start off next week. See, that's the Christ, the Lord Maitreya, that Benjamin Krim was supposedly the John the Baptist for bringing in. Of course, it's the devil. It's the same as Sanat Kumara, blah, 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 blah. Folks, if you like the work I'm doing, please consider giving a donation at davidjamesboston.com. Become a participant in my work and help me as I teach. Help me in my work so that I can continue in it. Obviously, we are learning much, and I hope that you will take the time to do that, to give a nice donation. It won't hurt. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.